Chapter 19.
It seemed to be a Saturday morning like any other. One day had become so much like the next. Each hour dragged so slowly that I didn't pay attention as months turned into years. As I made myself coffee, I watched a blue jay fight with a starling over the crumbs in the bird feeder. Neither noticed the orange marmalade cat crouched below them, ready to spring. I took my time in the shower, trying to scrub away the grime of isolation with hot, soapy water. Loneliness had become an environment. The air I breathed, the spatial dimension in which I was trapped. I sat in a boat on a deathly calm sea, waiting for a breeze to fill my sails. And so it never occurred to me my life might change again dramatically that day. It was quite simple, really. I drew 1 cc of hormones into a syringe, lifted it above my naked thigh, and then paused. My arm felt restrained by an unseen hand. No matter how I tried, I could not sink that needle into my quadriceps as I'd done hundreds of times before. I stood up and looked in the bathroom mirror. The depth of sadness in my eyes frightened me. I lathered my morning beard stubble, scraped it clean with a razor, and splashed cold water on my face. The stubble still felt rough. As much as I loved my beard as part of my body, I felt trapped behind it. What I saw reflected in the mirror was not a man, but I couldn't recognize the he/she. My face no longer revealed the contrasts of my gender. I could see my passing self, but even I could no longer see the more complicated me beneath my surface. I stared far back into my past and remembered the child who couldn't be cataloged by Sears. I saw her standing in front of her own mirror in her father's suit, asking me if I was the person she would grow up and become. "Yes," I answered her, and I thought how brave she was to have begun this journey, to have withstood the towering judgments. But who was I now, woman or man? I fought long and hard to be included as woman among women, but I always felt so excluded by my differences. I hadn't just believed that passing would hide me. I hoped that it would allow me to express the part of myself that didn't seem to be woman. I didn't get to explore being a he/she, though. I simply became a he, a man without a past. Who was I now, woman or man? That question could never be answered as long as those were the only choices. It could never be answered if it had to be asked. I thought about the long road I'd traveled. I had never stopped looking out at the world through my own eyes. I'd never stopped feeling like me on the inside. What if the real me could emerge, changed by the journey? Who would I be? Suddenly, I needed to know. What would my life be worth if I stopped short of finding out? Fingers of excitement and fear tightened around my throat. Where was I going now? Who was I becoming? I couldn't answer those questions, but even asking them was a sign to me that tumultuous change had been boiling just below the surface of my consciousness. I searched the apartment for a cigarette, but as I picked up the pack, I watched my hand crush it. That night, I dreamt I was struggling in deep, murky water. I flailed my arms and legs against its molasses resistance. My lungs ached from holding my breath. I desperately needed to inhale. I began to slowly swim toward the surface. The pressure eased on my body. I felt liquid velvet against my hands as they sliced through the water. I could see the sky, facets of light shimmering above me. My lungs were ready to explode. I broke through the skin of the water. I felt the sun and breeze against my face, warm and cool at the same time. I heard the sound of my own laughter. I think I really believed that when the hormones wore off, I would discover I traveled full circle and returned home to my own past. But the journey wasn't over yet. I realized that the day I saw Teresa shopping in Kmart. I held my breath the moment I recognized her. She had hardly changed a bit. Would she say the same about me? I hid behind the men's underwear display and watched her. What would she do if I called out her name? I wanted her to embrace me and take me home. After all, she'd left me because I'd begun hormones. Now I'd stopped. Could she love me again? I saw someone put her arm around Teresa. I angled around the aisles to get a better look at the woman. It was the same soft butch who had opened Teresa's door almost 10 years ago. The same lover. What could Teresa possibly see in that Saturday night butch? It was so much harder to be me. I needed Teresa's love a lot more than she did. I hated to admit that she must be special if Teresa loved her. I heard Teresa laugh, warm and relaxed, her face crinkled with love. And then I knew I wasn't going home. I wasn't traveling backward. I was hurtling forward toward a destination I couldn't see. And if I was ever going to lie in Teresa's arms again, it would be in some distant future, not now. I hurried out of the store before they could see me and raced home on my bike just ahead of the tears. I lay on my bed for hours until the steamy afternoon shifted to evening. Oak leaves rustled in the breeze outside my bedroom window. The streetlight projected their shadows on my wall. The whine of cicadas rose and fell. Teresa had asked me to send her a letter someday. I wanted to write it now. I longed to deliver a bundle of sentences wrapped like a gift to her doorstep. Words that would light up the night sky. Words that would soothe and heal. But the words still wouldn't come. During the long night, I realized that if love had been enough, I might never have lost Teresa. But I did. I could say we came to a fork in the road. That was the truth, but it wasn't the whole truth. I knew I had lost Teresa in little ways long before we parted. I had been at the center of her world. She had become my whole world. As my universe shrank, I needed her to be everything for me, and in return I longed to be everything she needed. Neither of us could live up to the expectations. And yet, how could it be otherwise? How could I not sink to my knees at the end of the day and ask her for sanctuary? How could she refuse loving me the way she did? The moments she pulled my head onto her lap and stroked my face were all I knew of refuge and acceptance. For her, my admission of need was what she'd asked of me in infinite ways. I don't know where else I could have gone for safety in an unsafe world. I don't think she could have possibly sustained her love for me if I had remained a fortress. Maybe the problem was that I'd begun to believe her love could protect me, begun to expect it, to demand it. Maybe she believed if she just tried harder, she could keep me safe. When she wiped the blood from my face, did it mock her power? Would it be any different if we were in each other's arms again? Someday I would tell her the little things I was beginning to understand. But for now, I could only write 7 lines for her, a short poem squeezed from the clenched heart of a he-she. Especially in the cool night, when leafy boughs make patterns on the walls, and consciousness gently ebbs, making way for sleep to lap my shores, in that long moment of no control, coals of remembering glow softly, lending the darkness a different hue. Nothing happened when I stopped taking hormones. For months, I got up every morning and raced to the mirror, breathless with anticipation. Nothing changed. It was sort of anticlimactic. It took many hours of electrolysis before I began to feel the softness of my cheeks again. One morning, I got up and found menstrual blood on my BVDs. I threw them out rather than risk anyone at the laundry seeing the apparent contradiction. But the real motion was taking place inside of me. I had to be honest with myself. It was as urgent as breathing. When I sat alone and asked what it was I really wanted, the answer was change. I didn't regret the decision to take hormones. I wouldn't have survived much longer without passing. And the surgery was a gift to myself, a coming home to my body. But I wanted more than to just barely exist. A stranger always trying not to get involved. I wanted to find out who I was, to define myself. Whoever I was, I wanted to deal with it. I wanted to live it again. I wanted to be able to explain my life, how the world looked from behind my eyes. Yet I was so afraid to come out and face the world again. I wondered why I had to choose the opening years of the Reagan administration and the rise of the moral majority to demand the right to be myself. Would they arm villagers with torches and stakes and stalk me through the countryside? Would I stand alone, handcuffed in a precinct cell, with no one to turn to if I survived the nightmare? But then I acknowledged that no matter who had been in the White House, it had always been hard to be me. Between a rock and a hard place, something told me this lifetime wasn't going to get any easier. I'd already been through a lot, though, and it didn't seem to me it could get much worse. Once again, I couldn't see the road ahead. I was still steering my own course through uncharted waters, relying on constellations that were not fixed. I wished there was someone, somewhere I could ask, what should I do? But no such person existed in my world. I was the only expert on living my own life, the only person I could turn to for answers. I knew I was changing when people began to gawk at me again. It had taken a year. My hips strained the seams of men's pants. My beard grew wispy and fine from electrolysis. My face looked softer. Once my voice was hormone lowered, however, it stayed there. And my chest was still flat. My body was blending gender characteristics, and I wasn't the only one who noticed. I remembered what it was like to walk a gauntlet of strangers who stare, their eyes angry, confused, intrigued. Woman or man, they are outraged that I confuse them. The punishment will follow. The only recognition I can find in their eyes is that I am other. I am different. I will always be different. I will never be able to nestle my skin against the comfort of sameness. How the hell should I know what it is? The man behind the counter remarked to a customer as I walked away. The pronoun echoed in my ears. I had gone back to being an it. Before, strangers had raged at me for being a woman who crossed a forbidden boundary. Now they really didn't know what my sex was, and that was unimaginable, terrifying to them. Woman or man, the bedrock crumbled beneath their feet as I passed by. How the hell should I know what it is? I had forgotten how hard this was to endure. But I knew I was emerging into the next phase of my life. Fear and excitement gnawed at me. There was not much keeping me in Buffalo any longer. Yet I was still afraid to leave. I wanted to believe that whatever home I was looking for, I'd find it here. But the time had come to accept my home might be waiting for me somewhere else. Or maybe I had to travel in order to find that home inside myself. In any case, there were jobs in New York City. The dispatcher at the temp agency told me I could get work in Manhattan. And he said the 24-hour movie theaters in Times Square were the cheapest hotels in the city. While I told myself I couldn't move because I didn't have enough money, deep down I feared New York would chew me up and spit me out. It wasn't just the hope of steady work that drew me there, however. It was partly the anonymity that attracted me. Somehow, it seemed easier to be a stranger in a city of strangers, and I hoped I might find others like me there. Only fear kept me in Buffalo. One morning, I came downstairs and found an oil slick where my Harley had been parked. I couldn't believe it had been stolen. I walked around the block for an hour trying to convince myself I'd simply forgotten where I'd parked it. When I finally sat down on the curb and faced that my bike was gone, I knew it was time to leave Buffalo. As the Amtrak train pulled out of the Buffalo station, I felt as though I'd left myself behind. I didn't know what lay ahead, but the train was hurtling through the darkness toward that destination. The winter sky was as blue as a childhood dream, and the clouds formed shapes waiting to be named. New scenery shot past my window. The earth emerged, wooded, bleak, and bare. A long ride lay ahead of me. "Is anyone sitting here?" a woman asked me. I shook my head. She put her luggage in the rack overhead. A little girl peeked around the woman's legs at me. "I'm Joan, and this is my daughter, Amy." Amy stared at me. I nodded and smiled. "I'm Jess." I turned and looked out the window. I wanted to be left alone, to think and to wonder. Amy curled up on her mother's lap. "Tell me a story." Joan smiled and leaned her head back against the seat. "Once upon a time," she wove a story about a little girl who traveled out into the world to find the sorcerer who would tell her what she was supposed to do with her life. But on the way, the girl was confronted by a fire-breathing dragon who blocked her path. She was very frightened by the dragon. "What shall I do?" the girl cried out. Suddenly, she noticed a huge boulder balanced on the cliff above. If she could push the rock, it would fall and kill the dragon. But how could she get up there? The girl called out to an eagle. "Brother Eagle, please help me slay the dragon." and the eagle swooped down and lifted the girl up to the cliff. The dragon saw the boulder falling, but it was too late. When the rock crushed the dragon, it disappeared in a cloud of smoke. The girl was very happy, but she was afraid the whole mess had made her late on her journey, and now she'd never find the sorcerer. That evening, she stopped and camped under a weeping willow beside a river. She started a small fire to cook her hot dogs and went into the forest to find more wood. When she returned, she found the sorcerer sitting by her fire, toasting marshmallows. She knew it was the sorcerer because he was wearing a tall, pointed cap with stars and moons on it. So she sat down and asked him, "Mr. Sorcerer, please tell me what I'm supposed to do with my life." And the sorcerer smiled and told her, "You are supposed to slay a dragon." Amy smiled at her mother and curled against her breast. "Mommy, is that a girl or a man?" she asked, looking up at Joan. Joan flashed me an apologetic expression and turned back to Amy. "That's Jess," she said. "Can I get you anything from the cafe car?" I asked Joan as I stood up and inched past them both. She shook her head. I bought a bottle of pop and a deck of cards and sat in the cafe car and played solitaire. When I came back to my seat, Joan and Amy were gone. They must have gotten off at Rochester. I relished the privacy. The world rushed past my window. Streaks of vermilion, magenta, burnt umber, silver birch and patches of snow, crispy ochre leaves still glued to branches, golden waves of graceful weeds reigning over marshland, brown ducks bobbing in still ponds, the sky filled with crows and hawks and turkey vultures, weather-beaten houses tucked away on hills between evergreens, fallow fields, and gleaming silos. Sleepy rural towns turned their shabby backs toward the railroad tracks. Block-long main drags, five and dime, hardware, auto parts, gasoline, home cooking. Lime, lemon, peach pastel homes, sagging porches, pickup trucks and children's swings rustling in the backyards. Trailer parks, yesterday's dreams of mobility stripped of wheels. Abandoned factories, familiar as a lover's sigh. Ribbons of road, trestle, and track tied all of our lives together like a gift. I began to feel the pleasure of the weightless state between here and there. But hours later, the earth began to recede under the weight of acres and acres of factories and high-rise apartment buildings. We were approaching New York City. The buildings loomed larger till they blocked the sky. I descended deeper into a forest of tenements. Some lived in, some abandoned. The differences were slight. Boards or cloth tacked up over windows. Laundry snapping in the air, strung from fire escapes. Every inch of wall space seemed to be spray-painted with names. I could taste the poverty, familiar grit between my teeth. "That's Harlem," I heard a man say to his traveling companion. "Harlem," I felt breathless with excitement.